I got a walk, got the chalk, about to draw outlines for these ladies, I'm about to slay. Got my cape on with some napalm, shots of days gone, then the game's on. What you play, huh? Hard to get, I'll be wet for all that dry hate. Looking my way while your eyes say you and I may get off like a right lane, but I might strain, pull up lame with a migraine. I'm a wrench to that ratchet bitch, a bench for that acid offense with a ladder, get up, phony. I said a wrench to that ratchet bitch, a bench for that acid offense with a ladder, get up, phony. Hello, miss, like, what's your name? Such a shame you don't drink, who's to blame? Cause I'm fine like I'm Cosby in the lobby of an AA meeting on a payday. We can make it rain even on a sunny day. What you say? You and I could run away. Meet up when you drop that molly off. Love that chick a Molotov while she's on the side, hating faded lane on the pavement, wasting all of my patience.
Come on, you gotta go.
Go ahead, put your best out. You gotta get up, beg, but I ask now. Come on and get up. I'm the edge with my hands out. You gotta get up. Step, gotta make down. Motherfucker, get up. Go ahead, put your best out. You gotta get up. I'm the edge, but I ask now. Come on and get up. I'm the edge with my hands out. You gotta get up. Step, gotta make down. Why don't you get up?
What up, motherfuckers? It's the Whiskey Sick Podcast coming back at ya. I'm Roland Dolo, Seth Gecko, a.k.a. Moody Hank. We got mad shit to talk about today. This is gonna be a heavy, heavy fight podcast. A lot of shit went down, a lot of shit about to go down. Don't worry, we got some fuckery to talk about too. All the normal shit. If it sounds like I'm in a wind tunnel, I am. It's about 90 degrees right now, and my balls are stuck to my leg, and it's hot as fuck. So, we're just gonna have to deal with it. Whiskey, nowhere to be found. MIA. So, just gonna have to roll dolo today. We'll just get right into this shit. God damn, where should we start with all this, man? We'll start with the UFC. Everything that went down in the UFC, UFC 213 was this weekend. The tough finale was this weekend. I got to straight up, first and foremost, give a shout out to the homie. 2001 Poway High School graduate, such as myself, Jesse Taylor. The man, the myth, the legend, wins the tough redemption season. If you don't know the story of Jesse Taylor, first of all, he was a badass wrestler back in the day. I went to high school with him, politicked with him back in the day out of high school, got into some crazy shit, some parties, wild the fuck out. He went to Cal State, used to wrestle, with TJ Dillashaw, got on one of the early seasons of Tough, I think like Tough 9 back in 2007, 2008. Homie ran through the house. Just smoked everybody like he did this season. Got to the finale just like he did this season. But as you all know, he wilded the fuck out the night taping stopped. Like within hours of the show being over, he got into the limousine. Probably had a lot too much to drink. Kicked the windows out of the limousine. Pulled up to a casino. Ran up in the casino. Started creating havoc. Throwing his weight around. Saying, I'm a UFC fighter. You don't know who I am. I'm a UFC fighter, this and that. Well, Las Vegas is owned by Dana White, so he runs that shit. So word got back to him immediately, calls Jesse in, hollers at him, kicks his ass off the show. But what people don't really remember is that he actually got a second chance. They brought him back for a fight against CB Dulaway not too long after that, and he got his ass hemmed up by a Peruvian necktie, the only Peruvian necktie that I ever remember in the UFC. You should look it up. You don't even really see it too much in jiu-jitsu classes being pulled off. JT got caught up in that shit, had to tap out, never saw him again. He spent the last 9.5 years trying to come back to the UFC. This dude's been all over the United States, all over the world, fighting in Japan, fighting everywhere, and every organization you can possibly imagine, fought all sorts of dope fighters, Musashi, Talis Latis, just killers. This dude has faced the best competition the world has to offer. He gets a shot at Tough Redemption this year. Nobody can stay on their feet. He's relentless with the takedowns. He just beat the shit out of literally everybody, comes into this Tough finale, dominates. He got dropped for a second. against Diego Lima. Lima caught him with a left hook, put him on his butt. Over-pursued. He should have let Jesse stand back up. It was a bad move to try to take his back. Jesse sneaks out the back door and immediately chokes his homie out. Wins tough redemption. Wins 290 grand. Nobody deserves it more than him. This dude was a wild motherfucker back in the day. This dude had no direction. I'll tell you a quick story of Jesse Taylor. I don't even know if he remembers this, but we had some mutual friends back in the day, and he used to come over. A couple of my homies, Chonies was one of them. Chonies, and we had this homie, Spinus, a.k.a. Spencer. They lived together, and they were like the first two to get their apartment right out of high school. We were literally like 18 years old. I went off to University of New Mexico like some kind of dumb shit, and I would come back randomly just to party it up and shit. But one night, we're all partying it up and shit, wilding out. This dude, Spencer, he gets faded, and he goes to his room, and we're probably talking about like 2 in the morning. JT's there with a couple of other homies. There's literally like maybe 15, 20 people in this little two-bedroom apartment in Rancho Penasquitos in San Diego County, and the night's coming to a close. JT and his homies, they bounce out. They're walking out to their car in the parking lot. I roll up into this dude, Spinus's bedroom, and I notice that this dude passes out while taking his pants off, like mid-pant taking off. Like, his hands are still holding his pants, but they're around his ankles, and he's literally passed out. And he's just sitting there in his boxers, laid out on his back with his hands on his pants. And so I think it's the funniest shit on earth. So I run out to the parking lot immediately, and I call JT and the homies. I say, yo, come back up in here. You guys got to check this motherfucker out. You got to see how this dude passed out. So they roll up in here, and we're all dying. This dude's not even waking up. He's so faded. He's just passed out. There's no waking him up. Well, JT thinks it's a great idea to go grab some Dawn liquid detergent dish soap. He grabs that shit, and he pours it in the boxer hole. The piss hole of Spinus's boxers, and he just pours it all in there. We think nothing of it. We all have fun laughing it off, whatever. We all go our separate ways for the night. I get a call the next day from Spinus. He hits me up. I roll over to the apartment. Well, liquid Dawn soap is meant to cut through grease, and that's what it says on the damn label, and it does just that. It dried this motherfucker's balls into a pus sack. Like, it ate through his skin. His balls were fucking red, and they were pussing over within hours. Like, he just sat there all night with this soap on his balls, and it just ate away all the oil on his skin, and he couldn't even, like, stand up because his balls brushing against his legs would hurt so much. And he was furious. Well, this dude isn't built very much. He's built like a number two pencil. Like a coat hanger. He's nothing, you know? JT comes over the next night, and this dude's penis wants to call this dude out. Well, mind you, this dude, JT, was a state championship wrestler, monster, back in the day, just like he is now. I think he was a little heavier back then. He's trying to talk shit to this dude, JT, who's telling us back then that he was going to be a cage fighter. We're talking about 2002. Like, early years, before the UFC was even anything. We're like, cage fighter? What the fuck is that? I knew about UFC stuff because I used to rent the videos from Blockbuster, but I'm like, how the fuck you gonna do that? That's your career path? Well, he showed us all later, but anyways, we tried to simmer Spencer down and tell him to shut the fuck up. This isn't a battle you want to lose. You know, he said his little two-piece. We all laughed it the fuck off, and eventually Spencer's pH balance in his balls returned to normal after a couple weeks, and the skin returned. His skin, his balls literally peeled. They shed like a fucking snake, and it was brutal. But that was all JT's doing, and I don't know if he remembers it. If I ever see him again, you know, I'll ask him about it. I saw him, the last time I saw him was maybe 2010-ish at a strip club in San Diego in Claremont. Ran into him randomly. He had just won a couple fights, I think, in Russia or Japan, somewhere out there. He was still doing his thing. The moral of the story is this dude never stopped grinding, just kept working, kept fighting, ends up on this tough show. And he fucking wins it. And it wasn't even close. This dude just straight up dominated. Poway High, Poway, we're proud of you, man. Like, this shit was dope. You did everything you said you were going to do. You did it with style. And the crazy part of watching this whole season, because I watched this whole season, was he was the dude that was like the peacemaker the whole time. The last time he was just like a rabble-rouser. Rah, rah, rah. He was the dude instigating shit. He was always that dude. He was the dude that would fight on any given moment. And now all of a sudden, this dude is, you know, he's a pops of two kids. He's grown up. He's really transformed. And Poway High, we salute you, Jesse Taylor. Mad proud of you, homie. You brought that shit back. You're gonna cause some problems in there. If these fighters at the welterweight in the UFC can't stay on their feet, they're gonna get their asses beat. Now, JT, hopefully he's going to work a little more with Bang Ludwig. You know, his hands aren't horrible. You don't really know how good his hands are because you never really see him. But that's definitely the weakness in his game. That's kind of what made him took so long for him to get back to the UFC was his stand-up game. So hopefully he's going to be able to make a little bit of noise, maybe get up into that top 15, get some big fights. Yeah. I know a lot of people don't think he's the most exciting fighter, but when he gets you on the ground, he don't just lay on you. He goes for the kill, and he gets that neck, it's over. He's monster with those rear naked chokes, and he doesn't rest on his laurels. He's throwing bows. He's hitting you. He ain't just laying on you. So congrats, JT, the tough redemption finale winner. Beat Diego Lima, who is a good fighter in his own right, so he didn't beat no slouch to win that shit. Moving right along, UFC 213. I don't really know where to start with this. I'm gonna talk a lot of shit right now. This might turn into a dry hate shit talking extravaganza right now. There's a couple people I gotta go in on. I'm gonna start with you, Travis Brown. You ninny ass, chauncey ass motherfucker. You, is it me? Or does this dude look like a fucking doe when he comes out? A doe as in a female deer, like Bambi on ice skates. He looks so goddamn unstable. He looks like he got knocked out backstage in warm-ups and then comes out fucking all fucked up. I don't know what's wrong with this guy. It looks like he has torn ACLs when he goes out there. He's like on stilts or something. He looks so goddamn unstable. This dude hasn't won a fight, I don't know, in a long time. I think he's on like a 4-fight losing streak. Used to be a world beater. Used to kill people. Used to move around. Then he went over to this Ronda Rousey camp and, well, the rest is history. Basically, this fool couldn't beat a mannequin right now. If Travis Brown is fighting an invalid on life support and you got to lay a bet down, take that invalid on life support. He's got a better chance of winning right now. Basically, an organ donor has more heart than Travis Brown. I don't know what the fuck happens to this guy, but he comes out there wobbly already, like he's already rocked somehow from backstage warm-ups. He's stumbling around the octagon, looking like he's on the verge of just being pushed over. I don't even know this dude, Olenek, that he lost to on this one. I don't know what to tell you, my man. You just got your ass kicked again, 4 straight time. You had your chance to beat the Black Beast, Derek Lewis, in your last fight, who was talking greasy as hell, all kinds of shit about you and your old lady. You get your chance to shut him up. You're doing pretty well. Actually, in all your fights, you're doing pretty well. You're actually landing some things that I don't even know how the fuck you're landing them, but you're doing it, and you actually almost beat Derek Lewis. You almost beat this dude, Olenek. And then you just shit the bed. You shit your bed like Justine Kish. And then you just go and just disappear. You curl up into the fetal position, and start sucking on your thumb and just beg for a way out. No motherfucking heart. I guess you're gonna be a stay-at-home pops now. Man, they ain't even Ronda Rousey's kids, and she's still gonna let you be a stay-at-home pops to raise kids that aren't even hers. So, you know, Derek Lewis is out here saying you better hurry up and impregnate her, you know, before somebody else does. He's talking crazy, y'all. Maybe that's your next career move. I would say go to Bellator, but to be honest with you, That Bellator heavyweight roster, it's not, it's pretty good. It's pretty good now. You got Chet Congo, you got Roy Nelson, you got Fedor, you got Matt Mitrione. All these dudes whoop your ass. So I wouldn't even suggest you go to Bellator, because you probably go 0-4 again there, so you're going to be 0-8 before we know it. World Series of Fighting? I think they only got like two heavyweights over there, if that. So those are pick'em fights. Maybe go on Dancing with the Stars or something like that. I don't know if your knees will hold up. But Travis Brown, I don't know, dude. I don't know what to tell you, man. Move on. Next chapter in your life, turn the fucking page. Now let me get at you, Miss Amanda Nunes. You dropped the fucking fight the night of the fight. And for no goddamn reason. Doctor said you're clear twice. The night before they said you're cool, you're cool. Basically, what happened to Amanda Nunes is she was lazy. One of two things happened. Let's be fair. You were either A, lazy as fuck, and didn't wanted to eat your whole camp and didn't properly cut weight. Or two, you were looking to have an advantage and cut weight at the very last minute so you could come in on fight night at the highest possible weight you could. Neither which are good strategies. But I think you're just lazy. You're over here running your mouth, talking all this shit. I think you just got scared. And you're like, well, how do you get scared from a chick you already beat? Well, because in that third round, you were catching an ass whooping. You won the first two rounds, and you were front running. You're a front runner. You're a Ronda Rousey. You're no different than Ronda Rousey. Everything's sweet. Shit is sweet. You think shit is sweet when you're front running. Let me tell you, shit ain't sweet. It's actually quite bitter. And as soon as you got a little bit of adversity, you fucking got scared and you ran away. You were getting that ass beat in that third round in that first fight against Shevchenko. Now you have five rounds versus her? Of course you ain't gonna feel well after a weight cut. Because number one, you probably cut an extreme amount of weight because you weren't on point with your diet. Or you weren't training right. One of the two. And if you're simply just trying to get a little advantage on weight, that's the stupidest shit I ever heard. So basically, you had a little tummy ache. And you bitched out. I mean, Chance, a fighter that don't want to fight, like a sneaker that don't sneak. Just shit don't make sense. You the champ? I've never seen a champ do this shit. Drop a fight just straight up because they don't want to fight. And then you come out and you really offer up zero excuse. You just say you weren't feeling well. You have sinusitis or some shit. Blow your fucking nose and get in the goddamn cage. If you lose, you lose. See, I blame Jose Aldo for this. You're probably thinking, what? Well, Jose Aldo was the king of faking injuries to hold on to his belt longer. So he would only have to defend his belt once, maybe twice in a year. So he would come out, hence the reason why he dropped the first time he was going to fight Conor McGregor. They go through the whole kit and caboodle, the whole press tour, and at the very last moment, he drops the fight. And, you know, that's why Conor ended up having to fight Mendez, and then that pushes the fight another 8 months back. So he gets to hold on to his belt for a little while. Well, that's what Amanda Nunes is doing. She's looking at Shevchenko, who is just a fucking killer, who I picked to whoop that ass. TKO, fourth round. And she's like, I don't want to lose my belt. These fighters get so attached to this belt that it stunts them. They just get mentally attached to this thing and they get terrified to lose it. It's just a fucking belt. It don't really mean shit. Your legacy is based on the fights that you put on. And this is a black eye. You straight up punked out. I just gotta call it like I see it. That's simple, plain and simple what happened. Nunes punked out. Now Dana White's over here saying she won't be a main event, which sucks because Shevchenko deserves to be a main event. I was actually mad excited for this shit. And then rumor came out that in the 23rd hour, the gangsteress gangsterest motherfucker of all, Joanna champion Yanyechik, said, "I'm your Huckleberry. I'll roll up in that bitch. I'll fight a chick that's beat me 3 times in Muay Thai. I don't give a fuck." On some Conor McGregor legend shit. Take notes. I've said this before. I told you guys about how Conor McGregor got this far. He takes the risks. He takes the hardest path. And when you fail, when you look and take the hardest fucking path and you fail, it's not a big deal. Because you went and you tested yourself. Joanna's like, "I will test myself." This girl, Shevchenko, if you guys don't know, has beaten Joanna champion 3 times in Muay Thai in the past. She don't give a fuck. Joanna Badger don't give a fuck, motherfuckers. She's like, "I'll go in there. I'll fight her." I think she was proposing a catch weight, so I don't know how that would have worked. But even if she just fought, you know, whatever, at 130, 125, 135, whatever it was, she was going to go in there and risk it. Because what's the worst that happens? She loses a fight that she was supposed to lose, but she becomes a fucking legend for taking a fight on 10 hours notice against a fucking killer. And then what's the reward? She wouldn't have won a belt, but she would have beat the number one contender at 135. Are you kidding me? She'd have been the greatest female fighter ever. She probably already is, but this would cement that shit. She's going out there, and she's fucking throwing it. Now, you could say, yeah, she's just posturing. She's just, you know, she knew she wasn't going to get the fight, so she's trying to make herself look cool and keep her name out there and shit. Maybe. But I don't doubt it. I don't doubt that she was serious. I bet if the commission would have cleared her to fight, she would have been in there. And win or lose, it wouldn't have fucking mattered. Nobody would have thought any different of Joanna. Our hats off to you. You's a gangstress. And too bad they didn't let you fight. Shevchenko, being the gangster that she is, she said, "Hell yeah. Hell yeah, homie. I'll take that fight too. Because guess what? I came to fucking fight. I'm a fighter." And the commission said, "Nah, nah, nah." And they didn't let that shit go down. So they're going to redo this Nunes shit. I think she should be stripped. Fuck all that bullshit. Jermaine Duranda me refused to fight. She got her shit stripped. I don't know how different this is. Basically, Nunes refused to fight. Strip her ass of that belt. Make her climb that way back up. I mean, you have a sinus infection? Fuck out of here, man. Take some Theraflu. Drink some Theraflu and get your ass up in that fucking cage. People have competed with far less. You just saw Robert Whittaker get his fucking knee blown out in the first round against a fucking killer in Yoel Romero. Jesus Christ, you seen this guy? Yoel Romero he's like the final boss of a video game. He's like the final boss of Final Fantasy 38. He's got like 10 million hit points and shit. And you need like 8 characters from around the world to fucking defeat him. This dude is a fucking monster. And for the first 2 rounds, he looked all bit of it. He just looked so damn scary. For Robert Whittaker to stay with it, get his knee blown out. First of all, those little side kicks to the knee, fuck those things. That's the cheapest shit in the UFC. And I've heard fighters defend that. That shit's cheap as fuck, man. Eventually, you're going to ruin somebody's career with those damn things. And you almost ruined a great fight. You kind of did ruin a great fight, because without that injury in the opening minutes of this fight, I think you get an even better performance from Robert Whittaker, and I think he smokes him out. Now, you can say that a lot of people had the consensus is pretty much 3-2. Robert Whittaker took the last 3 rounds. That first round's up for grabs. I could honestly see there wasn't a whole lot. Robert Whittaker was in that phase, so I kind of gave him that first round. That was a toss-up round, so I could honestly see a 4-1 in that situation. But it was a clear decision for Robert Whittaker. He stayed putting kicks out there, closing a distance, a large distance with punches. He's quick as fuck. They both gassed out at the end, but that's because that's a taxing fight, man. Yoel was coming hard with those takedowns. The most impressive shit was Whittaker's ability to stay on his feet, man. His takedown defense was ridiculous. Even with a blown out knee, he goes back in the in between rounds to his corner after the first round, and he says, "My knee is fucked." And his trainers, his corner men said, "We don't give a fuck. Fuck your knee. You got plenty of time to worry about your knee after this shit. There's a belt on the line. You need to go out there. If you start worrying about your knee, basically, his corner really deserves a lot of credit because they shut that way out. You know, if you substantiate that, you acknowledge the fact that his knee is fucked up, you kind of give him a way out. You kind of give him an excuse to kind of hang it up. You shut that door right away and you say, fuck that. We're staying in this fight. You're going to fight your way out of this cage. You got to earn your way out of this cage. And that's exactly what Robert Whittaker did. He actually looked pretty well, pretty good at times on that blown out knee. So it'll be interesting to see how destroyed that knee is and if he'll be able to come back. Michael Bisping, you nincompoop fucking poop you. You just continue to make an ass out of yourself. I actually like Michael Bisping, but you're on some stupid shit, my man. You're over there commentating, and then you get your front row seat, and you're over there with double-fisting 240s of moron juice or some shit, ripping up Cuban flags, and then coming up in here, throwing your belt on the ground like a little bitch boy. You're just acting stupid, homie. Sit your ass down. Go up in there. You got a guy, Robert Whittaker. He ain't gonna do those exchanges with you. He ain't a shit talker. That's not his game. Bobby Knuckles comes in there to put them knuckles on your fucking chin. And guess what, Bisping? He's going to whoop that ass. Either one of these dudes were going to whoop that ass. If Romero won, he was going to whoop that ass. And you haven't seen the last. I know Michael Bisping is over there sweating his little bitties off watching Romero fight, begging to God that Whittaker pulls this off. Whittaker gets the nod from the judges, and he's breathing a sigh of relief. He's acting wild. He's talking mad shit, thinking that he's on that Angela Maigana shit, talking shit, thinking he'll never have to see Romero. Now that Romero's lost, he'll never have to fight him. Wrong. You're going to see him. Trust me. If they don't do an immediate rematch with Romero, Whittaker, once Whittaker unifies that belt, guess who you're going to have to fight on your way back to a title shot? It's going to be Romero, homie. You haven't escaped that shit. You over there, Maigana in this shit, thinking shit sweet, acting a fool, thinking you'll never see Cyborg. Then Cyborg shows up at a fighter's conference and busts you in the fucking mouth. Guess what? That's what Romero's going to do. He's going to pick you up, and he's literally going to toss you over that fucking cage into the fucking crowd. He may get DQ'd, but guess what? He ain't going to give a fiduck. He's going to toss you out of that fucking cage. He's going to jump over that cage. He's going to beat your ass in between the seats while everybody flees and shit, like a bomb's going off and shit. That's what's going to happen to you, Bisping. So you over there counting your chickens and shit. Well, it's going to come back around to haunt you. Trust me on that shit. Almost forgot about that fight. I forgot to talk about the tough finale main event, Justin Gaethje versus Michael Johnson. That shit was a scrippity scrap. This dude, Justin Gaethje, mad respect to this dude. I didn't know how good he really was. He's coming over from the World Series of Fighting, which is much less competition over there. There's just not enough dudes. It's professional fighting. It's nothing to laugh at, but it's not the competition of the UFC. He comes right over here and fights a guy in Michael Johnson. Not the greatest record, 18-12, now 18-13. But he's a top five dude. He just beat Dustin Poirier, beat the brakes off him, knocked him out in the first round. So Gaethje comes in and gets thrown right into the fire. And they go back and forth. Justin Gaethje gets fucking his head knocked off in every single fight he's in. It's something he's going to have to work on. But the thing about Justin Gaethje is the fucking Terminator. This dude just keeps coming forward. Which is part of his problem. He comes forward, doesn't get his head off center line, doesn't hit angles. When he throws a lot of leg kicks, which change the tides of fights, but he doesn't get his head off the center line, so he eats a lot of punches in return, which is what Michael Johnson was doing. I think Michael Johnson just wasn't hitting angles enough. He was moving backwards a little too much, but even so, he was still landing punches, and he wobbled this dude, Justin Gaethje, like three times. Had this dude all but finished. Gaethje comes back from nowhere, blasts this dude with three uppercuts from hell, puts dude on that street, and just goes in for the kill. Once Justin Gaethje sees that you're hurt, it's over. It's over. And second round TKO, a lot of people saying fight of the year. I was like, yeah, maybe. And then I started thinking, I can't really remember a whole lot of UFC fights this year because boxing's kind of been running circles around them. Lack of memory. I'll go on board with that. It was definitely a very good fight, a very good main event. Justin Gaethje. What's next for this dude? I don't know. Tony Ferguson? I don't know. I think that's a little too much. Tony Ferguson's a number one contender right now. So he's kind of in a weird place with McGregor over there fighting Mayweather. Maybe you give him Khabib, but if Khabib's ready to fight anytime soon, then he's got to fight Tony Ferguson. A Nate Diaz fight would be dope. Maybe you give this guy Pettis, since Anthony Pettis just beat Jim Miller. That would be a crazy fight. I think that's the fight to make. Anthony Pettis versus Justin Gaethje. Definite different styles of stand-up. Pettis doesn't really do good with pressure fighters. We don't know how Gaethje can do against a dynamic striker like Anthony Pettis, who started bringing out all the bags of tricks against Jim Miller. Jim Miller's just a perennial, tough, very professional fighter, and that was a big win for Anthony Pettis. So I think that's the fight to make, Gaethje versus Pettis. I would say Dustin Poirier, but I think he's coming off of a loss. I don't know if he's fought since he lost to Michael Johnson, so got to scrap that one. So very good weekend. Not the best weekend for the 4th of July weekend fights like they normally have. They usually have International Fight Week for the UFC. Wasn't the greatest matchups, but the fights paid off. All the fights were dope. There really wasn't anything whack this weekend. It goes to show you that you don't need big names to have great fights. If the bandwagon fans don't come on, fuck them. Us dudes that have been on since 97, renting the videos from Blockbuster Video, doing arm bars on the homies in the yard, we love the fights. So keep that shit coming. Tomorrow, July 11th, 2017, we finally get what we've been waiting for. Mayweather versus McGregor press conference. The first one from the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Ooh, fucking wee. I don't know how good the fight's going to be. You've heard my prediction. I'm not going to go there again. But this is why we want the fight. The fucking press conference. This is the show. This is what you're paying the $100 for the pay-per-view for. Is to see the culmination of all this shit talking. And Mayweather, you done fucked up. You done fucked up this week, man. Days before the first press conference, it comes out that you owe $100 million in taxes to the IRS. You're 2015, you made $400 million. Goddamn. But you didn't pay any taxes on it. So now you owe $100 mil, a cool hundo. Which brings into question why you're fighting. You're fighting for the money now, homie. Remember when you were talking all that shit about Pacquiao, who was in the same situation as you? Owed a shit ton of money, so that's why he wanted to fight you? And he got his ass whooped because he was fighting for the wrong reason. Well, now you're in there. You've always fought for the money. I'll give you that. But that's your only motivation? That's what gets you on the treadmill? That's what gets you on the speed bag? That's what gets you up doing the rounds with these sucker-ass motherfuckers that you've been taking videos of? I see you in there with those fucking Chauncey-ass motherfuckers trying to play them up like they're actually real. Yo, Conor's in there training hard. This dude has something to prove. He has the whole world at his fingertips right now, and he can cease the whole thing. He has nothing to lose and the absolute world to gain. If he beats Floyd Mayweather, hey, he's the greatest athlete in the world, period, hands down. If he loses to Mayweather, who gives a fuck? He talks shit and he goes back to the UFC and defends his belts. Mayweather, you fucked up. You know this dude's going to come out there with some heat. You do make a lot more money than him. So I guess you can toss that around. In order to owe $100 million, you have to make $400 million. I got you. I see you. I see you over there. I see your little play. But you know, now you got two bullets in Conor McGregor's chamber already that you know are coming out. Domestic violence, you know that's coming out. You beat women, proven. You did time in jail for it, so it's not alleged. You were convicted, and now you don't pay your taxes. You're on some Wesley Snipes shit. Go ask Wesley what happened to Wesley. He tried to run his little ass away from the IRS, too. What happened to his ass? He ran away from the IRS so much that he almost had to fight Joe Rogan. He almost had to fight Joe Rogan in an MMA fight just to get money so he could pay off the IRS. And let me tell you, Joe Rogan would have whooped all kinds of shit out of that boy's ass. Trust me on that. Wesley Snipes' blade, your blade training wasn't going to help you against a real martial artist like Joe Rogan. If you guys don't know, he was a legit Taekwondo champion and a very legit jiu-jitsu practitioner and a very legit ass whooper. Very in shape. He would have killed Wesley Snipes. Floyd, go talk to Wesley Snipes and ask him how that happened, because that landed his ass in jail for tax evasion. You might end up there too. So, you know Conor's going to come out swinging with that shit. Who knows what else he's going to do? It's going to be a spectacle, an extravaganza, and this is what I'm signing up for. Fuck the fight. These four press conferences that they got lined up between now and August 26th, that's what I'm on board for. He's going to come in there fucking skip-scapping, scallywagging, stealing belts, talking shit, throwing up little gang signs, little Irish gang signs, and all kinds of shit, man. And it's just going to be awesome, man. Stay tuned tomorrow. I think it's going to be on Fox Sports 1. Check that shit out. This is what we're paying for. All you haters out there saying you're not going to pay for the fight, which you end up will pay for the fight. This is what we want. We want the spectacle that's surrounding the fight. We want all the shit talking. Not only are we getting two of the best fighters in the world right now, we're getting two of the best self-promoters in the world right now. The two Alis of this shit, basically. Ali was the greatest shit talker of all time. Both of these dudes, Conor and Floyd, both took pages out of his book. No one will ever touch him. But this is like if we got to see Bruce Lee. Well, not really, but it would kind of be like Bruce Lee versus Chuck Norris kind of shit, you know, back in the day, if we could have seen that. Or Chuck Norris versus Van Damme, even though they're both martial artists and not from separate martial arts, you know. But it's kind of on that level, if we could have seen that. This is the biggest fight you can make. So be tuned in for that. I would like to do a freestyle episode number 2 tomorrow, but unfortunately my ass is on the graveyard shift, so I won't be able to do that. Or best believe I would be doing a live freestyle episode while the press conference is going on. Depending on the time, maybe I will, because I'm going to have a lot to say about this shit. What else do we got about the fight game? So, Musasi, big news dropped today that Gegard Mousasi went over to Bellator. Stupid move, Duke. Don't know what to tell you. I guess you're running over there to make a couple sponsorship money. I understand that. You got kids to feed. You got a wife to take care of. But you're never going to be a champion. You'll never be relevant. You weren't relevant. You came over to the UFC. Nobody other than hardcore fight fans such as myself knew who the fuck you were. You were running Strikeforce for a while. Nobody knew who the fuck you were. You started to chip away at that. You had a huge win against Weidman in your last fight. Controversy aside, that was all going downhill for Weidman. You legitimately won that fight in my book. Now you're a fight maybe away. Maybe you fight Romero to fight the winner of Whitaker Bisping for the title and having everything you've ever wanted and the culmination of your long-ass career that you've had, and you're going to run over to Bellator. I don't even know what middleweights they have over in Bellator, but you're just going to basically disappear. Nobody will you probably won't even headline Bellator cards, to be honest with you. So, you know, you'll get your Condom Depot sponsorship on your shorts and all that bullshit, and, you know, you'll make a few extra bucks. But if you knew how to self-promote yourself, probably and had any kind of personality whatsoever. You have the personality of a blank sheet of paper, but homie, you got nothing. You give nobody any reason to want to fight you, to want to watch you fight, but you want to make all this money. All these people want to make all this money, but they're not bringing in anybody to watch them fight. You headlined the card, I think, against Uriah Hall. The first time you got spinning back kick KO'd, you got that win back. But other than that, that shit was like free TV. You ain't getting no pay-per-view buy. So, do what you gotta do, homie. We've seen the last of you. Don't think we'll ever see you again. Probably will never speak of your name again on the Whiskey Sick podcast, but, hopefully you come to your senses and you rip that contract up and come running back to the UFC. Moving right along. Yo, I gotta. We know recently, as it's been well documented on the Whiskey Sick podcast, that one of my favorite MCs of all time, Prodigy from the great Mobb Deep, recently passed away about 2 weeks ago. They had his ceremony. They laid him to rest. And recently they put up a dope mural of him on the streets of New York City. And I got a call. I got to have a call to arms for all the homies on the East Coast in New York. We got to find the motherfucker that defaced that mural. Some motherfucker, some chicken shit, went over there and threw white paint all over the brand new mural as soon as it was finished. Hours, within hours of it being finished, they disrespect the god. And I know my New York homies out there, they don't let shit slide like that. So hopefully they're on the lookout. They're out there with their torches and lanterns, their tar and their feathers, searching high and low for this motherfucker. I'll put out a reward on this motherfucker, a solid $10 reward for any information leading to the capture and tarring and feathering / stoning of the motherfucker that defaced the Prodigy mural. My homies, my New York homies, my East Coast homies, get out in them streets, put your ear to the streets, do some good old-fashioned detective work, and bring this motherfucker to justice for the whole hip-hop community. That shit's disrespectful. You know, I bet if they put up a fucking Justin Bieber mural, nobody would have fucking touched that. Or a fucking Kanye West mural, that shit would still be standing. This dude Prodigy is a motherfucking legend. And you out here on some chicken shit under the darkness, running the streets, throwing some paint and dipping off. We gonna find you. We got a strong $10 reward for your head. So, my New York homies, make that shit happen. Speaking of Kanye West, that takes me to Chicago. I don't know if y'all heard this shit, but Chicago is wilding the fuck out right now, man. This is more of a serious type thing going on right here. I saw these statistics on the 4th of July weekend, and if you haven't heard this shit, go do some fact-checking. Go out there and Google this shit. This isn't an exaggeration at all. There were 102 people shot, 14 killed in Chicago over 4th of July weekend. Now, this shit is far beyond any race shit. This isn't a black shit, a white shit. This is a human shit. This is you giving a fuck about your fellow humans who are living in a fucking war zone. There's people that are caught up in this that have no choice to be where they're at, that were dealt raw cards from the day they were born and don't have very many options. And they're getting caught up in between this bullshit that's going on over there. I don't know if we need to roll some tanks up through the streets of Chicago. We need to roll the fucking army out there and just clean this shit up. If we all need to fucking go out there and take the fucking streets back. But these motherfuckers are out here literally fighting over corners, over blocks, over concrete. I've had homies who have lived in Chicago on those bad areas of Chicago, who have been there, who have family out there right now, and they're literally saying that you can't go from block to block in the neighborhood without being checked, without risking your life, without motherfuckers approaching you, asking you where you're from. This is on some Compton times 10 shit. And they're shooting people. And apparently they're not good shooters. They can't aim for shit because they're shooting a whole bunch of innocent bystanders out there who don't want no deal with this. They don't want nothing to do with this shit. They're just out there trying to scratch and claw and survive out here. And these dumbass motherfuckers sipping their moron juice, smoking their moron weed, are out here killing innocent people. This doesn't affect just the people in Chicago. This affects all of us. This is the United States. These are fellow human beings. And something needs to be done. So, Chicago, first time we've ever really had a serious topic on the Whiskey Sick podcast. We're with you. We ain't down with that Kanye West shit, but we're still with you. We'll give you a pass for Kanye. But Whiskey Sick podcast, our hearts go out to all those that were affected this 4th of July weekend. It wasn't just people shooting shots up in the air and bullets falling down hitting random people. There's some serious gang shit going on out there. And people are fighting for their lives every day just going to the fucking corner to buy some milk and bread. So, some serious shit out the way. Speaking of gangs, we got the world's hardest gang running the streets of, I believe it's Boston. Let me pull this shit up real quick. I don't know if you guys heard about this shit. This shit is some wild ass shit. Yep. Boston. The mean streets of Boston. Eminem voice. Members of a midget crime gang suspected of 55 break-ins. Yo, you guys gotta Google this shit. These fools look like Pinky from Pinky and the Brain. These dudes got these eggplant-looking heads, man. These dudes are mad deformed. They got three of these dudes. I think it's cool to call them midgets. They're calling them midgets on this article, so I'm gonna feel free to call them midgets. Three members of a so-called Irish mob midgets, a Boston-based criminal organization composed of people of short stature, have been arrested this morning, reports of the Chronicle. Security camera footage show three subjects during a home break-in in which the intruders entered the house through the pet door. These motherfuckers are geniuses! First of all, I don't know how their heads fit through the fucking pet door. If you Google them and look at these pictures, I don't know how the fuck. Are they going in ass first? Because I don't know, and then just pulling their heads through? Because I don't know how the fuck their heads. They found a criminal used their small-sized bodies and used them to break in through chimneys, pet doors, and small openings of windows. God damn. Talk about taking your weakness and making it an advantage in life, man. These dudes looked at themselves and said, fuck it. We've been dealt a raw card in life, but we're going to turn this shit into something. We're going to make something of ourselves. And so the Irish mob, I don't know what makes them Irish themselves, are a non-profit motorcycle enthusiast group for small people. How the fuck? You riding little, they make small people motorcycles or some shit? What the fuck are these dudes riding scooters? Dressing them up as Harleys and shit? Imagine these fools with their little bandanas and leather jackets on little scooters. Making little vroom, 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 like that South Park episode. These fools making little motorcycle noises with their mouths while they're on their scooters and shit. A little motorcycle gang of small people. These fools are, damn, these guys in some real shit. Members of the organization have been arrested in the past years for charges of drug trafficking, arson, aggravated assault. Damn. I don't think they have a special jail for you little motherfuckers. So, best believe you're going to be taking some full-size loafs in jail. Hopefully you're ready for that shit. Hopefully you did your fucking calisthenics and you stretched out a little bit. 55 break-ins. Good Lord. Check these dudes out. Members of the midget crime gang, man. Now, I've seen it all. These dudes out here wilding in the streets of Boston. The mean streets of Boston. But it looks like they got these assholes off the streets, so the streets of Boston are now safe again. Your pet doors, you can take the screens off of them. Your pets can now go outside again and piss and shit without you being home. I know that was probably an inconvenience to all of you. I know how it is to have to let your dog go out, have to be home all the time. You imagine coming home and you see a little dude's fucking head sticking out your doggy door? Fuck, man. Punt these little motherfuckers like a fucking football. Let's keep on with this crazy shit. So, I've been hearing this shit. We're in this world of identifying as shit that we're really not, just to identify and be different and try to make headlines and shit. You got these motherfuckers that want to be real ambiguous with their sexuality. So they, like I said in the past, they don't want to be anything in particular. They just want to be everything. They want to be as vague as possible in their life. So you've had Rachel Dozell out here identifying race, identifying as another race, as a black woman. And then now you have people that are now, let's pull this shit up. So basically what I heard about is a man who identifies as a six-year-old. So I Googled that shit. Well, to my surprise, which it shouldn't have been my surprise, there's more than one person, male, who's identifying as a six-year-old. Let me just read these. It's called trans. There's transgender, transracial, and now there's trans age. Trans aging. So Take these keywords, man identifies as 6-year-old, put that into your Google search and see how many fucking stories pop up. Let me read you some of these goddamn headlines. Man who identifies as 6-year-old dominates CrossFit for kids. What the fuck is there CrossFit for kids? That's the real headline. Man identifies as 6-year-old crushes game-winning homer in T-ball championship. Oh, man. And they keep going. Keep going down. Transgender and trans-ager. Transgender and trans-ager. So now this dude's doing combos. This dude's combining shit. A 52-year-old father lives as a 6-year-old girl. This dude's wild. Check this dude out. This dude looks like the chick gypsy from Mommy Dead and Dearest. No bullshit. This dude's wild. 52-year-old father lives as a 6-year-old girl. And this dude's fully equipped with pigtails and a little sundress. And that's his fucking parents sitting next to him smiling and shit. Forget being transgender like Caitlyn Jenner or transracial like Rachel Dozell. There's new trans frontier. People who are trans age. And an interview with the gay news site, of course, Paul Wolst, can't even say your fucking name, details the struggle of being a male to female transgender person. Basically, this dude, listen, if he doesn't make news headlines like this, how the hell is he ever going to be known? How is anybody even going to know this guy even fucking exists if he doesn't do this kind of shit? And then here we are, me, giving this dude some props and fucking giving him some shine. I can't deny I was married. I can't deny I have children. But I've moved forward and now I've gone back to being a child. I don't want to be an adult right now and I just want to live my life like I could when I was in school. Jesus. Jesus, if you have a wife and kids already, it's too late, my man. Why are you 52 years old trying to be a woman? You just want a reason to go back in time and shit. You just want to live the nostalgia. Look at this fucking guy. This dude's got a full size fucking Louisville Slugger fucking big barrel bat, and he's crushing a fucking T-ball over a fucking T-ball fence. Auburn, California, local 36-year-old man Nate Ripley. You Nate Ripley. You's a bitch. What if you hit that ball and kill a kid? Is that what it's going to take to get these busters off this goddamn field? He's going to hit a fucking line drive off that shit and plunk one of these kids and kill him. Who the fuck? How are any of these fucking T-ball dads not going out and duffing this dude out on sight as soon as he steps onto this field? This dude's bigger than the fucking field. One step from the mound and he's at home plate. This dude's full on, looks like a goddamn major leaguer, hitting the fucking ball off a tee, who identifies as a 6-year-old, absolutely crushed a game-winning homer. No fucking shit. You got a Tyco tee with a real baseball bat. I don't know why the fuck you're wearing a helmet, homie. Hits a home run and he's fucking proud of himself. Yo, if I'm in the stands, if I'm a father of even a dude on that team, I'm going out there and I'm whooping this dude's ass on sight. As a man, you got to do it. So the shame isn't on Mr. Nate Ripley. Shame on all you motherfuckers that sat here and let him do this shit. I identify as a 6-year-old. Fuck you. Identify with these fucking knuckles, homie. Won the championship for his team, and I bet all of them celebrate it. With their little fucking trophies. And the other team didn't say shit because they got trophies too. Just for being there. So nobody gave a shit. And everybody probably supported and wore Nate Ripley t-shirts on there. Go, Nate, go. Fucking applauding him. Giving him little pats on the butt as he came around the bases. Making his jog around second and third base. Cheering him on as he made the final home stretch. You fucking bitch. Ripley reportedly walked up to the plate in the bottom of the sixth. Pointed his bat toward left field wall. Now he's fucking... Now he's Babe Ruth. 130 feet. The wall is 130 feet. I can spit that far. I can jerk off and nut 130 feet. That's how far this fucking fence is. And let her rip. Sending the ball rocketing over the fence and into the parking lot. You hit my car, homie? I'm gonna hit you with my car. You fuck up my car because you hit a fucking ball on the tee. You couldn't even hit the underhand toss? I remember in T-ball, they underhand tossed you three pitches. And then if you can't hit that, then you put the ball on the tee. So you telling me you literally struck out first and had to put the ball on the tee and then had to hit a home run? You soft, homie. You mad soft over here. Fans cheered and his coach yelled out, "Attaboy, Nate. Good job, bud." You fuckers. You motherfuckers. You actually cheering this guy? You guys are the biggest Chaunceys of them all. Talk about not standing up for anything nowadays. What are you, afraid you're going to get sued by Mr. Nate Ripley? Because you didn't let him identify as a 6-year-old? You know, and I also read the other day, they're teaching kids how to play soccer without balls. Yo, they're playing soccer without balls so that all the kids are on a level playing field. You imagine that shit? Well, if that's the case, I can be a Dallas Cowboy if they play football without footballs. I can be a fucking major leaguer if we play baseball without a baseball. We don't want to fail. We don't want to teach our kids how to fucking lose at all. We don't want to prepare them at all in the least bit for real life. So when they get fired from their fucking Taco Bell job one day, they're going to go out and jump off a fucking bridge, off themselves, jump in front of a fucking Amtrak because they don't know how to deal with a fucking loss. Let me tell you, homies, dealing with a loss, that's the biggest lesson in life. Because you're going to get dealt L's all through life. And protecting these motherfuckers from losing is just going to just raise a whole generation of bitch-ass motherfuckers. And we're seeing it already. You see it in the rap game. A whole generation of bitch-ass motherfuckers. I bet you 21 Savage and Migos all played soccer, AYSO soccer with no balls. I bet you right now they participate in a fucking Little League T-ball team. Right now, all those motherfuckers. It's all starting to make sense. That's how rap is in this fucking area. They're going to have rappers that don't even say a word on the microphone. Right now, at least they make sounds. Skirt, skeet. Soon they're not even going to do that. It's just going to be instrumentals and everybody's going to be in there in the booth going, "Oh, shit, you hear that shit?" They're going to be fucking thinking lyrics. That's the fucking route we going. Now back to this original motherfucker. This dude's over here fucking deadlifting weights in his little kid's CrossFit. This little girl behind him looking like she's about to fucking cry. This dude's over here fucking working up a sweat. Local CrossFit enthusiast Tyler D. Young, you bitch you, walked out of the local CrossFit affiliate with a smile on his face. Man. Where's the owner of that gym duffing this dude out with a dumbbell? You parents are letting this shit go down? His 4 p.m. class on Tuesday, he had just dominated another workout. Not only setting a personal record in the snatch, but besting the next strongest athlete in the class by over 185 pounds. Homie, you only beat him by 185 pounds? You only beat a 6-year-old girl and a couple other 6-year-old boys by 185 pounds? How old are you, homie? This dude's like 30-something years old, too. This dude, oh my God. D. Young, who works as a sales associate at Target, okay. Born in 1983. You born on my same year. You're 34 years old, motherfucker. But is currently transitioning to a birth year of 2011. You can transition your birth date now. He is first trans-age individual to participate in the gym's CrossFit Kids program. I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for everyone who has been supporting my transition. Name them. I want names of every single person who ever supported your bitch ass. I'm coming for all of you. You gotta start bitch slapping these motherfuckers. Slap them back to fucking reality. Send them to a psych ward. This shit ain't normal. You letting mentally disabled, mentally weak-ass individuals get away with this shit. Instead of snapping them back into reality and holding them accountable, you're letting them take the fucking easy way out. So what, we're gonna have trans-age fucking Special Olympics? I identify as a fucking retard, so I'm gonna go out there and fucking and win the Special Olympics now? I'm going to be the greatest Special Olympian of all time because I identify as a retard. I identify as a guy in a wheelchair. I'll be the buffest motherfucker in a wheelchair, fucking doing wheelchair marathons and shit. Throwing the javelin. It's fucking ridiculous. D. Young began publicly identifying as a six-year-old 3 years ago, but didn't tell his wife Angela until months later. How the fuck didn't she know? This dude's off in the corner eating Capri Suns and fucking fruit by the foot, watching SpongeBob. That wasn't your first motherfucking clue that this dude's a fucking idiot? Tyler has always been a little mature, you think? But I thought he would grow out of it, she explained. But over time, Angela noticed her husband playing with toy trucks, there you go, instead of going to work, watching hours of Octonauts, and laughing at words like poop and booger. This is who he is. And celebrating that is more important than pressing him to conform to reality. What the fuck is wrong with you? His wife is more mentally disturbed than him. Why are you letting this dude do this shit? Get them divorce papers ready. Now, I know you're not going to half of a Target associate's income, his fortune, isn't going to be that much. You're still going to have to work. You're not going to be set for life. I get it. Don't got a whole lot to gain. I got you. But you can keep your fucking dignity. You can keep this motherfucker from raising other little kids like him. So what's the reverse? Can a six-year-old now identify as a 36-year-old man? And go to a bar and start drinking and wilding out? Go to the fucking club? Six-year-old rolls up to the club. Says, I identify as a 36-year-old. Let me in this bitch. He's in there popping champagne. Pouring, doing fucking lines off of stripper's titties and shit. He identifies as a 36-year-old, so we gotta let it go? Where the fuck does the line end? This shit's fucking crazy. I dare you, motherfuckers. Man identifies as a 6-year-old. Put that shit in your search box. Google that shit. A whole fucking page of these motherfuckers. Shit. On positive notes, weed has been legalized in Nevada for a week. And guess what? They're running out of weed. These motherfuckers, weed has been legal in Nevada for a week and it's already running out. These dudes, it's actually been legal medicinally since 2001 in Nevada, if I'm correct. It's been for a while. Yep, there it is. Has been legal. But now it's recreationally legal as of Sunday. As of this past Sunday. And they're already having shortages of bud. I was just there like 2 weekends ago. So you can imagine all these out-of-towners, you know, all these people coming in for these fights and shit and everything that goes on in Vegas, coming out here and just buying up all the bud. They're finally free. They come out here and they just get high as fuck. It's a beautiful thing. The line out the door, it just doesn't stop. People are there when we open at 10 a.m. and they're there when we close at midnight. What this owner's saying. The state made an estimated $1 million in taxes between Saturday and Tuesday. And just 3 days, whatever the fuck, they've made $1 million in taxes. You're talking about deficits. You're talking about roads that need to be fixed. You're talking about youth programs that need to be funded. Schools that need larger budgets. This is how you fund all that shit. This is how you do it. Colorado led the way. California and other states. This is the 5th state, I believe, that's done it. And dispensaries as much as $3 million. So this dispensary made $3 million and provided $1 million in taxes to the state of Nevada. Ain't that some shit? Name another business that's doing that. Now, maybe some of these casinos are doing that kind of shit, but maybe even some of them aren't. But outside of the casino game, outside of just the strip, there ain't no business doing this kind of business. So props to you, motherfuckers. Marijuana shortages can be can happen immediately after legalization of strict state regulations in Nevada. In Nevada, there aren't enough suppliers licensed to transport recreational marijuana to meet demand of the dispensaries. The Nevada Tax Commission is voting on an emergency regulation Thursday that will allow the Department of Taxation to consider a larger pool of applicants for distribution license. They can't get enough weed to Nevada. Well, there's plenty in California. We right next to you, homie. We can ship that out to you. It's going to cost you. But we got some for you. We can sprinkle you, man. We can sprinkle you a little bit here, a little bit there. You'll be all right. You guys will survive. Nevada will stay high. They will stay medicated. This isn't the end. This is just the beginning. They got pictures of all sorts of out-of-towners and tourists wilding the fuck out. Happy. We're hoping Nevada, the saying here, we're hoping Nevada figured out the pot problem soon, and his residents won't have to worry about sharing their stash. Yo, if I got a stash, you ain't getting near it if I was out there. You ain't coming here. I don't care how much you pay me. So props to you, Nevada, over there, making moves, funding all sorts of shit, leading the way. I know that homie in Trump's cabinet's over there trying to reinstate the war on drugs, the Just Say No campaign and all that phony-ass bullshit. Look, homie, it's been since 1960. It hasn't fucking worked. Give it up already. Weed is how you pay for shit. Can change everybody's life. It's a medicine, homie. Shit. What else do I fucking got? Oh, I know what I got. You know what? I'm gonna save it. We're already at over an hour right now. Rob Kardashian, you motherfucker you. I haven't forgot about you. I'm coming back for that ass. I'm gonna clip up. I'm gonna stash my ammo. I'm gonna come back with whiskey. And we're gonna double team that ass. We're gonna get all up in that ass. So, don't think I forgot about you, Mr. Kardashian. We're coming back for you. Oh man, the Vice Essentials fucking... Okay, I gotta talk about this real quick. So I always talk about Vice. Viceland is the greatest channel. So I like to give you guys a show of the week. I saw this one. It's always Vice Essentials. They always got this crazy-ass, random-ass shit. Basically, it's called... it's a whole city in Peru. It's a Peru. It's a city called Tanakake. Tanakake? I've just butchered that shit. It's Tanakake. It's a city in Peru out, like, way out in the outskirts. It's like a 12-hour drive, like, on these little-ass, like, on the sides of mountains and shit. You have to go, like, 10 miles an hour to get out there. It's a fucking trek. But it's basically a town that celebrates Christmas with 3 days of fighting each other. All they do is just get drunk for 3 days, and they all just fight each other. Basically, it's a town in Peru full of motherfuckers that could whoop Travis Brown's ass. Every single one of these motherfuckers would beat Travis Brown's ass right now. They get faded. They wear all these kinds of masks and shit. And they just dance this weird-ass little dance. They look like cornflakes, to be honest with you. But they're out there wilding out, getting drunk off of, I don't know, moonshine, I'm guessing. Some kind of homemade liquor and shit that they're out there fucking brewing in vats. But these dudes all come out. They form this huge circle, and they just beat the piss out of each other. Men, women, children. This is the only place on Earth that you can actually fight your boss. Like, these dudes actually fight their boss. Instead of having, like, a court session, these dudes settle their differences by fighting each other. This is how it should be. And they don't let people get knocked out dead and all that shit. You know, they have a John McCarthy in there that kind of breaks it up once somebody starts getting a little better. These fights don't last more than like a minute. But these dudes are just throwing mad haymakers. You got beef with the homie who didn't pay you back for something. You know, he didn't pay you back for the goat milk that you borrowed last weekend. You go beat his ass. Your boss made you work a little too much overtime. You say, fuck it, homie. Meet me out in the field. We're going to go settle this. Basically how life used to be, and it's still that way somewhere in these parts of the world. So check this shit out. The people of Tanakake, Peru, we salute you over here. Y'all some bad motherfuckers. Travis Brown, if you're listening, stay far, far, far away from Peru. These dudes will duff you out in a second with your little Bambi legs out there. I swear, you roll out there all unstable and shit on your little stilts and fucking wobbling and shit. These dudes, they liable to murk you out, homie. Liable to duff you out on sight. So, Travis Brown, you stay in L.A. with Rhonda, where you're safe, and you stay the fuck away from Peru. I've warned you. Rob, I'm coming for you next week. Maybe this week. I guess we're going to sign off now. I'm a little bit out of breath. It's hot as fuck up in here, like I've been telling you. It's like 90 degrees here in San Diego. Balls got worked up into a real rich lather sitting here. So I'm going to go shower off, try to pry my nuts from off the inside of my thighs. I'm motherfucking Seth Gecko, a.k.a. Moody. Hank. This is the Whiskey Sick Podcast, and we out.
If we don't got it, you don't want it. If we don't got it, we don't got it. If we don't got it, you don't want it.
Yeah, push the clock, I'm out to speech. I run the spot, I'm about to dip around the whip. I'm about to ride, found the trip, about to slide all the way. I've been waiting, sending winks, send back a flirt, then edit, search for letter words. So clever, learn what's on your mind. Best to fucking recognize my username. I've been in line to catch your eye. Drop for you and you and I. Bet you not. Likes his pickets when we gold. We can dip, I can scroll down the page. Round the way from Christian Mingle. This is a single night tonight. Might just linger, flag that page, I'll let him know. Shut shit down, I'm on the scene, arm round tails, bitch. Too far, them haters wish they could pull my chick, but she logged off. Locked jaw with a mouth on her, she won't speak up, she does talk down when she's riding me, riding me. Inbox full, never got that shit. All things shift, now block that bitch. Box around, crash the boys, no pass or four. My pass is for 3 days, relay. He's rounding 30s, headed home.
If we don't got it, you don't want it. If we don't got it, you don't want it. If we don't got it, you don't want it. When we get it, you can have it. Never hash it, still don't need it. Broke as fuck, but fucking breathe. If we don't got it, you don't want it. If we don't got it, you don't want it. If we don't got it, you don't want it. When we get it, you can have it. Never hash it, still don't need it. Broke as fuck, but fucking breathe it. Back up on my moody shit. Got two e-cigs and a foolish bitch. Shots two, we dip in a newly swift shot. You these pics, now you choose which half you want. Cause it won't zoom out, won't fit that screen. Go get that prenup, looks like we lucked out. Put it back in south, had a fast and can't slow down. Can't roll out till we hit that vapor rise. So can't stand high, we can't lay fly, but I can't dance. Try, but I can't hand off my drink. Cause sing two will make you want it. You catch that shit, my drift that I sailed on, lift that I held on to. Bitch could've bailed on two, but I gave you three, what you say you mean? Skip the pokes and get to the irons quick, better sign in shit. There's a line bending round back, don't mind if I chunk that deuce and I bounce to the back page down to the last day now. In the fast lane, south to the best face, can't pass that chance that we meet again. Had that slap, but I see no grin when the thing comes out. No, you can look, but you can't touch shit, but you can't rush chat roulette. 50 shades of gray, the day to waste, and you came my way. All out of credits, but the band won't play when it rains all day.
We don't got it, you don't want it. We don't got it, we don't got it, we don't got it, you don't want it.
No shine, don't mind, no ice in my cup. No bling, no rings, can't buy me a look. No crack in my whip, no stack in my chips. No gas in your lift, no asking me if I got what you don't need, need what you don't want. Got what you don't have. No loss when you don't have shit. No loss when you don't have shit. If we don't got it, you don't want it. If we don't got it, you don't want it. If we don't got it, you don't want it. When we get it, you can have it. Never hash it, still don't need it. Broke as fuck, but fucking breathe. If we don't got it, you don't want it. If we don't got it, you don't want it. If we don't got it, you don't want it. When we get it, you can have it. Never hash it, still don't need it. Broke as fuck, but fucking breathing.